gentlemen, welcome to The Psy Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Psy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Psy Effect Radio Show. Today, I have filmmaker Darla Ray. Darla started in the world of acting at the tender age of 8. She worked on her first film at 18, which was the movie Halloween as an extra. Do you guys remember that film? Oh, my God. I have to ask her about that. Darla made her very first film at 47 years old called The Goal, which won numerous awards and got distribution. Now, this is really unheard of in the indie filmmakers community. We're going to talk about all of those things, including Darla's new projects. And I want to welcome Darla Ray to the show.
Hi,
welcome to the
Psy Effect.
Hey,
welcome. That's great.
Welcome to the show, Darla. Thank you for coming on. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's beautiful in Colorado today, so everything's good.
Nice.
And I get to chat with you about filmmaking. That's always fun.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Did you always want become a filmmaker? Is that something that you set forth to do?
Well, I'll be honest. My objective was, I always thought I just wanted to be an actress. You know, looking back now, it was because back then, I think nobody really told girls that they could do anything but that.
Right.
And so I never even thought about directing or producing back then. I was just, you know, my focus was, oh, I just want to be an actress. I want to act. And so, you know.
Wow, yeah.
And how it all came about is kind of crazy. So you just never know when you're setting out to do something.
Said in the beginning that your first film you worked on was Halloween at age 18. What in the heck was that like?
Well, it was kind of crazy, you know, how that came about. I was actually watching another film being shot in my town. I grew up in Azusa, California. And there was a film being shot in Covina, California, and I told my mother, I'm going to go see what's going on over there. And she said, okay, that's great, cool. And this guy came up to me and said, hey, I'm a casting director, and, you know, I'm going to be casting this other film. Would you be interested in the film? And as it turned out, it was Halloween. So that was just kind of a weird thing that happened, but being on that set was a lot of fun. You know, I was 18. We thought we'd dive and gone to heaven, getting to work on a film. And back then, we thought it was a big major motion picture, and it was really independent film.
Really?
Yes, it was. You know, John Carpenter. It was an independent film, and I don't think anybody really expected it to do what it did. But you know.
Wow, that's amazing. And Halloween ended up being Halloween 1, 2, 3. It had a couple of them.
Yes, it did.
Crazy.
But we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun working on the set.
Now, your first film that you did was called The Goal. What was that about?
The Goal is about two would-be professional athletes who both suffer spinal cord injuries, and they meet through the game of quad rugby, which is wheelchair rugby. And most people think, you know, quad means they can't move their arms or their legs. Mm-hmm. What it just means is that all four of their limbs are affected. It was based on a true story. A friend's son was training for the Olympics as a cyclist, and he broke his neck and became quadriplegic. And I got introduced to the game by going to watch him play. And then I started meeting all these great athletes and these families and hearing their stories. And so I just felt like, you know, hey, I'm going to make a movie. And people kind of thought I was crazy because I had never made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written a script. So I went and got the software and sat down and wrote the script. And we made the movie for like $49,950.
Amazing. How inspiring. Now, what inspired you to become a film director instead of continuing to pursue acting? What was the turning point that said that?
I think for me was the fact that, you know, I was older, I'd been a single mom, you know, I probably wasn't going to get a lot of roles, but I just wanted to tell stories that inspired people. And I thought, well, why work on somebody else's when I really feel that passion and drive for it? I'll just start making films myself. And so I think my approach to directing and filmmaking is probably, you know, a little bit different because
right.
A lot of directors haven't been actors.
Yeah, it's great to be able to see the bigger picture from all aspects.
Well, that's true. And, you know, for me as an independent filmmaker, when I write a script, I also have my producer's hat on. So if I get this grandiose idea, oh, I want to do, you know, fireworks or something like that, I'm like, okay, tailor it down, girl, because you can't afford that. So
right.
What can you do to have the same kind of impact at an independent filmmaker's budget? So I looked at that from the beginning of the project so that
mm-hmm.
you're not ready to start shooting the film and go, oh, wow, we can't afford to do that scene.
Right, right. And then you have to go back and rewrite it. That can be frustrating. I'm sure not having the amount of funds that you need as an independent filmmaker can be very stressful and discouraging at times, right?
Absolutely. And that is the hardest part of the industry, of the business, is raising the funds. However, I will say that even George Lucas had to put up his own money for his last film, Red Tail. And he's George Lucas. So, you know, most people don't realize that that's part of the business. You have to fundraise. And, you know, we're in the middle of fundraising now on our new project. And it's very frustrating, extremely frustrating at times. So, you know, with the different crowdfunding campaigns that we're able to launch now through Indiegogo or Kickstarter, that helps a little bit. But even then, you know, it's not enough. You think you've told everybody over and over again, but so people will call me and say, what project are you doing now? How can I help? And you think,
right.
Oh, my God, I put this on Facebook. I put it on the Internet. But you just have to keep asking people and telling them what type of film you're doing, regardless of what the genre is. So that becomes the business part of it that's the toughest focus, to get in there and be creative. But asking people for money and trying to get product placement and advertising, that's the most complicated piece of it and the most difficult for sure.
Now, your new film project, it's about a gentleman by the name of Mike Glynn. Can you tell us who is Mike Glynn and what inspired you to tell his story?
Well, Mike Glynn is a retired NBA player, and Mike grew up in the South, and his father was a teacher for the Georgia School for the Deaf. And even though Mike is not deaf, nor was his father, all of his friends were deaf. So Mike made a promise to himself that if he ever made it to the NBA, he would start a basketball camp for deaf and hard of hearing kids.
Mm-hmm.
And his first year of being drafted into the pros, he did just that. And starting this next week, it's going to be the 33rd annual camp, which is totally amazing.
Yes, it is.
How that story came to me was a couple of the coaches that volunteer at the camp for like over 20 years knew of my work on the goal and my other stuff related to sports and people with disabilities. So they brought me the story, and I wrote the screenplay. And then, you know, we're casting it. We're getting ready to shoot it, and which is really interesting because every time I make a new film, I get a new education.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I'm working with the deaf and hard of hearing community. And so that adds other aspects to the filmmaking process that we haven't had to deal with before. You know, we have to have interpreters because I don't know sign language. But really what inspired me the most to want to tell this story, I have a nephew who is deaf, and he wears hearing aids, and he played basketball this year, and he played in the championship, and I realized watching him play that the story is much closer to me than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked him, I said, Patelli, you know, why did you like playing so much? And he said, well, it's the first time I ever felt accepted on a team.
Wow.
So that really hit my heart, you know, and I started recognizing that this is a difficult thing for the kids that are deaf and hard of hearing because, you know, a lot of times they don't get to attend those camps because the camps that are being held don't have any interpreters. And so we had an audition, and a bunch of deaf and hard of hearing kids came out, and it was just, it was such an inspiring moment and encouraging and empowering to see these kids, their faces light up about getting to be a part of this project. And, you know, what we're doing with this project is we have hearing kids, we have deaf kids, we have hard of hearing kids, and they're all working together to bridge the gap, you know, through this film project. Some of them are working in front of the camera, some are working behind the camera. So it's really become quite an entrepreneurial project for the community.
I, in fact, would love to be a part of it and, you know, help you guys raise funds, whatever we can do to be a part of this, because this is just amazing.
Well, we appreciate you and any help that you guys can give us and getting the word out and getting people to go to the website, which is spiritoflovemovie.com. And there's a link on there that if businesses want to advertise or promote a new
mm-hmm.
product at home, you know, a lot of people don't know what product placement is, but it's when somebody in the film is like maybe they're drinking a soda or coffee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for product placement companies that have a new product that they'd like to promote or advertise. You know. But there's a link on the website that allow people to become a part of our community team.
Okay. Now, I see you guys have raised $30,000+ for the project thus far. How much funds are you seeking?
Well, we need to get to 100,000. Once we get to 100,000, we have an organization that is matching it. So
okay.
That gives us 200,000 to make the film. And
great.
That includes our marketing and all of that. So
I noticed that
we have
said,
kids that are doing bake sales even to raise the money. That's what's crazy about this.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I noticed that you said that your last film was called The Goal, and this one, what's the name of it?
Spirit of Love.
Spirit of Love.
Yes, and the reason it's called that, Mike Lynn won the NBA Players Association Award of the same name, Spirit of Love, for his community service. And so a friend of mine, who is a singer-songwriter out of Nashville, she and I wrote the lyrics together, and she wrote the music and recorded the song for us. And you can get a little hear a little bit of that. It's on the website.
Okay.
And so that's why it's called Spirit of Love, and the title song is called Spirit of Love.
You've made two projects relating to sports. Are you looking to make projects, film projects, relating to other things that are going on, or are you just sticking to sports-related topics? How does that work?
It's interesting. I have several other projects. I have one other project that is a sports-related project, but no, not necessarily. And certainly I'm not limited to necessarily dealing with disabilities, per se, in my films.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, my third film, dealing with disabilities, I also made a documentary called Dandy Kids, which was dealing with children with a rare brain malformation, which was a documentary. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, God puts things in your life for a reason.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so if people kept bringing me sports projects and that I felt like led to do it, I would do them. But I don't think that's necessarily it. But what I do think is my passion and what my focus is to actually do family films that motivate, uplift, encourage, and inspire the audience. I feel like my passion is.
You are an indie filmmaker. Can you explain to everyone what exactly does an indie filmmaker, for those that aren't sure of what it means, or, you know, as an actor and actress of an indie filmmaker, do you get paid or do you get recognition within the in the acting community? How does it all work?
Well, you know, you can be an indie filmmaker and you can get paid or you cannot get paid. It just depends on if you're able to raise a budget. There's a lot of filmmakers that make films and nobody gets paid. A lot of people, nobody got paid off of our first film. You know, we were kind of making it as our calling card, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But indie does not necessarily mean you don't get paid, and there are different levels of indie filmmakers. There are indie filmmakers like myself who is not attached to a studio, and then there's indie filmmakers that are attached to studios, so they actually have more funds to have bigger budget films.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, we make the film and then we sell it to distribution, and depending on how we how that distribution deal is set forth with the distributors determines on how much we get paid on the back end, or if we get paid on the back end, so to speak.
Got it. Okay.
But this will be a SAG. This will be a SAG low budget film.
Okay.
Which most people aren't going to get paid more than $100 a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the teenagers, when I told them that, they thought that was great. You know, and the adults are going, I don't know about that. And the kids are going, yeah.
That's so funny. How long does it take to make a film? Once you've gotten the budget done, everything is a go, you have enough money to do what you're wanting to do, how long will it take to complete the project?
Well, you know, every film project is different. However, when I write a film and I schedule it, I do it in a manner that I know I can shoot the film no more than 16 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for example, The Goal, we shot it in 15 days. It was scheduled for 16, but there was a big snowstorm coming in, and we were able to move everything from our last day on Sunday to our light Friday over, and we finished in a day ahead of schedule. Then we edited that film in about 45 days,
mm-hmm.
and it out into film festivals and won awards within 90 days. So each film is different, but this one will be about someplace between 12 and 16 days of shooting time, and then probably 45 days roughly for editing. Then it'll be ready to start showing at festivals and then screening it for distributors. And we do have a few distributors that are already interested just because of the nature of the film.
How long are usually your films?
They're about 90 minutes, full-length feature film. You know, my first film, The Goal, was an hour and 56 minutes, but then the distributors bought it, and they made me cut it down shorter, so I cut it to 99 minutes.
So
and
what happened?
They do that, too, is because if they put it in a theater, it's easier to turn over the theater audience for 90-minute increments rather than two-hour increments.
Okay, because that was my question. What one piece of advice would you give someone that are looking to come into the industry as an actor, actress, film producer such as yourself?
Well, I mean, you know, the best thing you can do is you just have to go out and do it. But if you keep having this as an idea in your head, say you want it, you decide, you know, I have this story and I'd really like to make a film. Well, then write it down, make a plan, get some screenwriting software, start writing it, you know,
mm-hmm.
make your story online. There's lots of people that will help in when somebody has an interest in doing this. I mean, there are a lot of actors and actresses that have only taken acting classes and then they go audition. You know, you have to go audition or nobody's ever going to see you.
Right, right.
And you have to keep auditioning. And then people say, oh, you have experience. Well, there are a lot of student filmmakers that need actors and actresses for their film. And that's how people can get experience, is
mm-hmm.
actually doing films.
Okay. Now, who is your favorite filmmaker?
That's interesting. You know, that's difficult. I will say this. I like Scorsese a lot, and I like a lot of Francis Ford Coppola's work. And I
mm-hmm.
think the reason I like that is because I know what some of their approach is. You know, there's not a lot of female filmmakers,
right.
actual film, filmmakers. They're becoming more and more. And if I had to pick one that was a female, I'd say Penny Marshall, because she's just brilliant.
Yes, she is. I'm definitely a fan of Miss Marshall.
I love her work. I love her work.
Now, what is your favorite movie, if you could pick one?
If I could pick one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard. I have two, and one
okay,
is probably
I
because I would... I'll tell you, what made me really want to do film the most was when I was a young girl and Sound of Music first came out. I just kept thinking, and I still haven't been there, but I want to go to the Alps, and I want to see where that one shot is where you know, Julie Andrews is coming down the mountain, spinning down the hill,
mm-hmm.
and from that. But overall, I would say probably Beaches.
Oh, that's another good one.
I love Beaches, and I love Bette Midler, and I love that story because it's about
mm-hmm.
friendship and really giving of yourself even when it's difficult. And those are the kinds of films that I like to make.
I can really co-sign with you. That's one of my favorite films, and actually actress and singer as well. Bette Midler is
she is.
What are you looking? What other projects are you looking to do and raise funds for besides the Spirit of Love film?
Well, we have a film called Section B. Section B is actually about my experience. I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts at the age of 35 because I always wanted to do that, and life got in the way, and I didn't get to do that. So one summer, somebody said to me, well, why don't you audition? Those people are coming to town. Why don't you audition and see if you'll know if you're any good? And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to know. But I went and auditioned. I got accepted to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Los Angeles, and it was the best experience other than in my life, other than having my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I just felt like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And the people that were there in my group, they put you in groups then, and my group was called Section B, and they used to make fun of us, like, be gone, be over the hill, ain't going to be working here, because we were ages 37 or 35 to 57. And everybody else, all the other groups, were, you know, young kids out of high school.
What actual advice will you give someone that are trying to raise funds for a project? You know, like I said earlier, it can be very discouraging, and not having the money to do something can stop a lot of things and a lot of good work from being seen. What encouraging word will you give someone that are trying to raise the funds for their project?
Well, you know, sometimes I have to give myself the same speech, so... You know, it's true, because one minute you'd be like, you're laying on the floor crying, face down in the tears, going, I can't do this anymore. And then
mm-hmm.
they all of a sudden it's like, but I have to, because I can't stop. Because you're, you know, when you're driven by the passion, which is how I operate, I'm driven by it.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, you know, okay, have to break down, cry, kick, scream, get over it, and then... You know, you may have to do it again 3 weeks later, but you still have to just keep persevering. You know,
right.
It's passion, perseverance, and patience. And patience is the one I don't have a lot of.
You and me both.
But I think people just, you know, you have to stay focused. And a lot of times people will, let's face it, people think I'm crazy. They're like, okay, you're going to be 54 years old and you're out chasing your dream. But, you know, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a hundredaire. I don't make a lot of money. You know,
mm-hmm.
been there, done those kind of jobs. But I live for what I do now. I love
mm-hmm.
every minute of it. And so if somebody has that and you just have that inside you that you know you can't, you just have to do this.
Right, right. When a dream doesn't. When a dream doesn't die, you know, you have to pursue it. You have to keep on pushing to make it a realization.
You know, if you don't have the money and you've never made a film, then go make a short film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of cameras. There's a lot of people that have cameras. There's a lot of people that have equipment. you can always get together a group of people, and you'll be surprised when you start networking how many pools of independent filmmakers there are in each location. And when you start networking with those people, you can start, you know, building a little bit of a team.
Right.
So that, you know, we kind of all help each other. I mean, I have people that will call me and say, hey, I'm doing this film and I need a location. Okay, mm-hmm. tell me what you need. And then I'll think about it and I'll say, oh, you know what? My friend's grandmother has a place that's like that. You know, here's where it is. Go check it out. That kind of thing. So I think that people start feeling like it's competitive. And it's really not. It doesn't have to be a competitive business with other people in your area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you reach out and help each other, then it makes, you know, everybody's product better.
Yeah, I agree. Now, before we go, why don't you give everyone your contact information, the website, if you're on Twitter and all that good stuff.
You bet. Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at DarlaRae. And the website is spiritoflovemovie.com. And we also have a fan page on Facebook. But if you go to the website at spiritoflovemovie.com, there's a little icon there that you can click on Facebook and follow us on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Darla, thank you so much for coming on Effect Radio Show and sharing your inspiring story of not giving up and chasing your dreams. This is just amazing, and I truly hope that this inspire other people to know that it doesn't matter how old you are, you could never stop chasing your dreams. You have inspired me to not give up.
Well, that's part of the game. Is, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You can. Once you're 6 feet under, then you don't have to worry about chasing the dream. But as long as you can walk and talk and do something, then go do it. Even if you're not into the arts, whatever your dream is, if you want to go back to school and become a teacher, or, you know, find a way to do something in your dream.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And, again, thank you, Darla, for coming on
thank
the Psy
so
Effect.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and I want to thank everyone that are listening. I am on www.blogtalkradio.com/The Psy Effect each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, continue to spread peace, love, and continue to chase your dreams.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you for joining in. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, check us out next time for more fun and more laughs on The Psy Effect.